Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 120, coming to you from the Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a chilly Friday, as we've had a very cold week. It's been lacking in the form of precipitation, but definitely a little bit chilly, so hopefully you're staying warm out there. If the wind's not blowing on you and the sun's out during the daytime, it's not too bad, but if the wind goes and the sun goes down, you're in trouble, so stay warm. Hopefully we turn towards some a little bit better weather. Now, I don't want it to be too warm, but I'll settle for the 40s right now. That would be okay. I think Jubb would sign off on the 40s. But, yeah, the 20s and the teens, not the easiest to get around for anybody in this kind of weather. Hopefully your vehicle's holding up, and hopefully you're staying out of all the potholes here around the Ohio Valley as we roll on to another post-football edition of Better's Last Stand. Football in the books for the second week. I'm very happy about that. Time to focus on some other stuff. NASCAR is back and better than ever after a good Daytona 500. So we got NASCAR to talk about. We're going to touch on some baseball things here momentarily, a little bit of college hoops, some golf, which is not a great card this week for golf, at least as far as the field goes in the Mexico Championship. But heading back towards the East Coast here now, and the guys will start to get into form, and you'll start to see the big names out there in mass quantities over the next few weeks when they start heading back towards the East. NASCAR will hit on. We go back to Atlanta this week. No week off after Daytona, as they used to do years back, where they would make the trek all the way out to Phoenix from Daytona. But now they go right up to Atlanta, so a pretty close commute for them. And we'll have racing here again on Sunday, so that is good. We're getting close to the beginning of F1 season, which starts here in a couple of weeks in early March. And then soccer in full swing as well. The EPL back at it. We got some midweek games. We have actually some weekend games and then some midweek games as well next week. And then the Champions League. Leg two of the first round of the playoffs in the Champions League are winding down as we speak right now. And we're going to recap some of how we've done in those. And we continue to be very, very hot in soccer. So hopefully you're partaking a little bit, dipping your toe in, trying it out a little bit, trying out the football a little. And been on a really good run. I don't know how this is continuing. I mean, I've always been pretty decent at this, but this has been a stretch of results that I got to say I've never had this much success before. But, you know, sometimes when you start to get a little older, you maybe get a little bit wiser. I don't know how long it'll continue. We could go 0-15 next week. So we proceed with caution, but nonetheless, seeing the ball pretty well right now, and the picks are going okay in soccer versus the rest of the stuff. But no, we did have a really good week. So recapping last week's show and the picks we give out on BLS_PRP, again, you can find all those, even the ones that are time sensitive that won't make it into the cut of the show, you can check out on BLS_PRP. You can follow us continuously every day. We'll have picks up there for you, not every day, but just about every day. So last week we were up over 51 units. Yes, 51. And we missed out on some more units too, because we had the second and fourth place drivers in the Daytona 500. We cashed some top fives and some top tens. They were very nice tickets, but didn't get the win home like we had hoped. Tyler Reddick just narrowly getting edged out there by William Byron. But another really strong week for us. We were terrible the week before that, so it's nice to have a bounce back. 51.40, we were up last week. Strong showings in golf, NASCAR, in the Premier League. Golf, we had Ludwig Auber 22-1, and we had four top 20s there. So Ludwig taking it home at a pretty decent price for a guy as good as him. So he gets the job done on the back nine. Outduels Maverick McNealy, a guy we had a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, so a good win there for Ludwig Auber in the EPL. Again, Premier League Soccer, we were 9-3, an ROI of plus 7.25 units. So very, very good showing there in the Premier League once again. And we're 78-46-3, 62% over the last seven weeks. If you're rolling with us there, since right around Christmas time, you're up 58.20 units in Premier League action. Obviously, prices vary depending on where you bet it, or your exact wager versus what we booked here. But nonetheless, you're up over 50, almost 60 units in Premier League Soccer, which is really, really strong no matter where you're at, no matter where you're getting your picks from. You're going to be hard to beat that one. 3-3 in our Champions League yesterday, but really good ROI. We had two really nice winners in Champions League football yesterday with Feyenoord coming through with an outright win and Club Brugge, both winning the matches and both advancing. So over $5 on return on those ones. So when you go 3-3 with some $5 on the card, that'll get you up 10 units, and that's what we were yesterday. So very, very good start to the Champions League week for us. Not sure we're doing as well today, but nothing in stone yet. So we still can work around a few of these things. NASCAR, as I said, near miss with Tyler Reddick. He really had a good car there. A lot of good cars in that race for sure. He finishes second. Chase Briscoe was fourth at 27-1. Reddick was 16-1. We had five top tens. We had three top fives. John Hunter Nemechek, outstanding run by him. We talked about him. I thought he's a guy that's really been starting to click on the super speedways, and he really has benefited. He was, if you're not familiar with him, he came up to the Cup Series about three or four years ago. He was in the series. He wasn't really having a lot of traction. He wasn't awful, but you could tell he just wasn't ready to break through as some of the rookies are when they first come up. And he went back down to the Truck Series, and he got some wins under his belt, got some confidence, got some more experience on the tracks. And he's come back up, and he raced pretty well last year, and he's getting even better this year. So don't be surprised if you don't see John Hunter Nemechek, around the top 10s and maybe even getting a victory this season. So it's nice to see there. Adding another guy to the card you can get a little bit of value on in the NASCAR markets. Again, 27-1 on Briscoe, 16-1 on Reddick. Those didn't quite get there, but still a pretty decent performance in NASCAR for us this week. College basketball, 3-5. Major disappointments in some of the teams we had. We were spot handicapping a few of these teams, and it did not turn out well. Tennessee sleptwalked against their rival, Vanderbilt. They ended up winning the game, but they don't even come close to covering Purdue. Maybe one of the most pathetic exhibitions of defense that I've ever witnessed. And when you watch a Matt Painter team play, you have to have low expectations anyway, because I think he's probably one of the worst coaches in America. I don't even know how he wins as many games. He's do a great job recruiting. Obviously, he gets good players. But 77% from the floor Wisconsin shot in the second half. And, I mean, it was laughable how bad the Purdue defense was. It was really absolutely pitiful. And then Arizona fights Houston tooth and nail the whole game, and then Houston just battle tested. They know how to close out a game, and Arizona, I think, lacks a little bit in the coaching department too. So they didn't get it home. So those are a few of the disappointments that we had there, and not our best effort there in basketball. And basketball has been a little bit tricky, so it's just hard to figure out what you're going to get out of these teams. I'm going to go into what I think right now where we stand, because I said there might be five teams that can win it all. Definitely not much more than that, I don't think. And I'll go through the teams that I think maybe have a shot. And we're going to look at the first look bracket that the NCAA gave us for the first time ever. Is like a prequel. I don't know how much of this is going to hold formful, but we shall see. Four Nations Hockey, USA gets the job done against Canada. That was a very good game. Obviously, the fights, everybody loved that at the very beginning. And then, oh, and a big goal there. PSV Eindhoven with a goal to now go level with Juventus on aggregate in a game that we need here. So PSV at home, they're rocking in Eindhoven right now. And they got about 37 minutes still to get a second one, which would put them through. And I expect them to get that. So we'll keep you posted. Hopefully we can cash a winner right here on the show. But back to Four Nations Hockey. Great, great tournament so far. One game left. And, well, if you're listening to this on Friday, which most of you will be, it was last night. So I don't know the outcome of it yet. But United States, they might be up against it this time. They got them the first time. I think the USA is a much better team, but now injuries starting to mount a little bit. If Hellebuck plays well in goal, I'd have expected they had won the game last night. But it's hard to beat Canada two times. But back to the tournament, though, as a whole, it's really become evident to me, and I've thought this for a while in all sports, there's too many teams in the NHL. The quality of play with these four teams has been so good. I've personally enjoyed watching the games. I'm a hockey person anyway, but these are fantastic games. The fourth liners are first line players, so it's just great to see the speed, the skill on hand. Wow, just very impressive stuff. I look forward to the Olympics next winter. But with the way that the NHL did this, it's a big success so far. And one thing it does show, though, you have too many teams. You've got to cut. You need to cut teams. You can't keep adding them. The talent pool's not good enough. The third and fourth line players now are not what they were even 10 years ago. You can find much better third line quality players now. these guys are pushing it right now. I watch a lot of Nailers games over here at West Banker Arena, and the difference between fourth line NHLers and these ECHL guys is not much. And there's a lot. There actually might be some more skill in the ECHL amongst their top lines versus NHL fourth liners. Obviously, when you're getting guys in systems, you're looking for people that can plug into a role. So maybe you don't take the most skilled guy, but too many teams in the NHL, obviously way too many teams in the NBA. If these leagues would retract a little bit, the quality of play would go up a lot. And baseball is another problem. And football, probably too many NFL teams. If you cut out two NFL teams, I think it would, and you get, you know, on a 53-man roster, you're getting three or four guys added to the teams that are there. That can be a major difference in to upgrade the play. So I'm a proponent of it. Unfortunately, money is going to prevail here, and they're going to continue to try to put these teams in markets that are not going to succeed. It looks like the NHL might go to New Orleans. Are you kidding me? Nothing says hockey about New Orleans. That would be a massive mistake, but they're going to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter what I think. But it's very clear that why the NHL can't seem to catch the fans the way that this tournament has is because the skill level is just not as good. And the rivalry, obviously, is not as good either. Because, you know, back in the days, you know, you would know all the players on the other teams. Like, I knew every Flyer and Ranger and Devil and Cap, and I hated them all. But now they change teams all the time. I mean, the Penguins, you know, they've had guys go right from the Caps to the Penguins and Penguins to the Caps. It's just terrible. So that's how these leagues have lost it. They've lost people's attention because of the rivalries. And the Four Nations showed what better skill can do, what better players can do, and what the rivalry means. And you've taken that out of a lot of the sports with the watered-down approach and too many franchises and not enough good players to fill those franchises. And with the free agency and the way the NBA guys just flex their muscles and get traded all the time, there's no rivalries. The rivalries don't last. Like, it's the rivalries might be the fans, but they're not the players. The players are in one city one year and another one the next. Like, they don't even get to know the city and know the rivalries like we used to see. So that's a very big disappointment. And you wonder why the NBA ratings suck. And you wonder why the NHL ratings aren't as good as they should be. That's why. NFL's kind of cornered the market. Baseball does baseball. It's an anomaly, I guess. But rolling on here, Four Nations, we were 1-2 in our picks last week, 2-5 in our futures. Not all that good there. Finland hurt us there. Thought they could maybe squeeze it out and we could get another victory in those ones. But it's been a good tournament so far. I've enjoyed it, and hopefully when you're listening to this, the USA had a victory. But we move on to baseball. Baseball coming down to spring training games, getting ready to start here. Red Sox sign Alex Bregman. Is that a big signing? I would say it is. I don't think he's like a massive turning point, but he fits in, I think, with his team pretty good. He's very good in Fenway Park. I think it continues to improve our bets. So, ironically, we gave out picks last week, a lot of Red Sox picks here on our future bets, and we didn't know Bregman was going to be coming to Fenway Park, but he is there now, and it's exciting to see. If you're a Sox fan and you are getting ready for maybe a return to some glory, maybe a return to the days where they were contending with the Yankees a little bit more. So I think they're on their way to that. I think it's a very good signing, and look forward to seeing how they shake out, how things go personnel-wise as far as positions and things like that, who will be up with the club. And there's a lot to be explored. MLB futures, got them all posted on BLS_PRP, but going through them here, recapping what we gave out over the last few weeks. We give out these plays back in January, I believe. We have the Royals over their win total at 82.5. We have the Reds over their win total at 68.5. I love that bet. Giants over 79.5. The Nationals over 69.5. The Twins under 83.5. The Cubs under 87.5. Kansas City to win the AL Central at 4-1. Cincinnati to win the NL Central at 6-1. And the Nationals, Reds, and Giants to make the playoffs all at plus prices. And that's 8-1. The Reds 2.5-1, and the Giants 2-1. The game, the futures we gave out last week, adding on from the January picks for MLB or futures, we gave out the Pirates to finish last in the NL Central last week at plus 230. Paul Skeens over 220 strikeouts. The Red Sox to make the playoffs at even money. And Jaron Duran to have 30-plus steals. Jaron Duran for MVP, that's a long-shot ticket, but it's 30-1. And now with Bregman in there, there's some more protection for him. I mean, there's another guy hitting behind Duran now that can drive in runs off that off the green monster. So Duran could score some more. And you got to like that whenever you add a bat like that to the lineup. So Duran, 30-1 for MVP. Tristan Casas, 30-plus home runs. I like that one as well with Bregman being added to the lineup. Garrett Crochet to lead the league in wins at 22-1 with the Red Sox. Cole Reagan's also at 28-1 for the Royals to lead the league in wins. Michael King for the Padres, 55-1 to lead the league in strikeouts, along with Brandon Fott from the Diamondbacks at 90-1 to lead the league in strikeouts. So those were our MLB futures. Continue to add more of those. We'll go through our division picks here once we get a couple weeks of spring training in and we start to see how the rosters are coming together and if anybody's been moved or anything's happened. Obviously, you got the Vladimir Guerrero. You got Dylan Cease potentially being moved. So you got some things to work out in the coming weeks. But it's good to have baseball starting to come back here and give us something to focus on here on a daily basis. Basketball, so college basketball, as we said the last couple of weeks, there's not that many good teams. There really isn't. And the more that I've watched, and I've watched a lot of college basketball here over the last few weeks, more than I even care to watch. It's a product of trying to learn what you can learn about these teams. But Alabama, Auburn, pretty good game on Saturday. Auburn gets the job done there. I thought they would, and that was one of our few winners in basketball. Florida looks pretty good right now. Duke is going to be solid. I don't know if they're a little inexperienced, so that would worry me. Houston, I was considering Houston anyway. There's Kylian Mbappe with a third goal for Real Madrid, so I think we're going to cash that one. We got Real Madrid going through. We have this match over, I believe, 2.5 or 3. So they're going to put the bed in Manchester City at the Santiago Bernabeu. But back to the basketball. Houston, they were starting to dip a little bit for me, but their defense is really good, and they close out games very well. So they shoot the three pretty good. It's better than they have the last couple of years. So if they can create any offense, they're going to be tough, and their defense really, really travels well. So I put Houston back into the conversation. Not that I ever really took them out of there. They were like on the fringe. And then so that was five teams. That was Auburn, Bama, Florida, Duke, Houston that I think can win it all. St. John's, kind of similar to Houston. If they shoot the ball well, they're going to have a shot. I like their press. I like Rick Pitino. He makes very good in-game adjustments. Do they have the ability to get the stops that they need, though? That's the one thing about them that I don't think that Houston does have that they may not have. I think they got a decent defense, but maybe not great. But that press is very good. They can get back into games pretty quickly, and I like what I'm seeing out of St. John's. And at a massive price, I still think they're worth a nibble there to maybe make the Final Four, and then you can kind of hedge out of your bet if you need to. Fringe teams I have, Kentucky, Iowa State, who I had up there back a couple months ago. But I'm just a little worried about Iowa State. I've not been super impressed with them. Kentucky, very hit or miss, much better at home. But I don't think they're ever really bad. So, like, their bad game isn't a catastrophic bad game. So that, to me, goes a long way. Iowa State, a concern. Wisconsin, they were a team I was very high on at the very beginning of the season. Then they kind of went, and I didn't know what they were really trying to accomplish. But they play a little bit more up-tempo right now. They obviously shot 77% from the floor against the bad Purdue team. So I give Wisconsin a puncher's chance. Oh, no. Did Juventus just score? Oh, we might have got an offsides here and saved us. Well, Juventus was celebrating something, but looks like it's coming back for offsides. The referee's looking at something here. Guys huddling around him. People ready to tear him apart like a pack of lions on a zebra. It looks like this guy's offside, so that goal should come back, but you never know how these things will shake out in the VAR world. But back to the hoops right now. You got the teams that I said were fringe teams, Kentucky, Iowa State, Wisconsin. Texas Tech, they got beat the other night, but I think they're okay. I like what I see out of them. I think they may be. And then Michigan State, I'm still not certain about them. Like, they played well at home, not so great on the road, so I'm a little unsure about them. They did have a nice comeback the other night in a big win. So that was against Illinois, who's a very inexperienced team. Throw out teams right now, though, I'll say this. Tennessee, they're not good enough on offense. Texas A&M, probably not good enough on offense. Purdue, absolutely terrible on defense. If you bet Purdue, you're just burning your money. Just don't bet Purdue. Please don't bet Purdue. They have no chance of winning a national title, 0%. Matter of fact, I'll say they have 0% of making the Final Four. They're just not good enough. Their personnel's not good enough. Obviously, Zach Edey covered up a lot of holes. They're terrible on defense, so you're not going to get stops. Arizona, another one. It's pretty high on them a couple weeks ago, but they've now went downward. I just don't see Arizona having enough toughness to be able to get the job done. VAR review continuing on here, so this could be a problem for our PSV bet. A massive problem here if this goal counts for Juventus with about 25 minutes remaining. In leg number two, Michigan also a throwout. UConn an absolute throwout. They were lucky to have come back against a not very good Villanova team. And, you know, when you're talking about guys who should be like players of the year and MVPs and that kind of stuff, and I don't know the criteria exactly of the Naismith player of the year and things like that, and there's no chance that this guy's going to win it. But I'm not certain that Villanova would have won more than like two games if Wuga Poplar was not if not on their team. He was a Miami transfer, and they gave that goal to Juventus. Boy, I don't know. I don't even know what people see in these games. Like, the guy was definitely offsides, and he was definitely in the play, and I don't know. So now we're up against it there with the PSV and Juventus game, both teams with a goal, and still some time left, though, so let's hope it can go our way. But Wuga Poplar, if you haven't watched him play for Villanova, he's an exceptionally good player. He was a guy who was very raw at Miami, had incredibly raw skills, and that has now refined his game, and he's so much more polished now in his fifth year. So I think he's about as valuable a guy as there is, and he takes Villanova to another level because they really, really aren't very good. So, but back to it here, the throwouts. Again, as I said, Tennessee, A&M, Purdue, Arizona, Michigan, UConn, Kansas, a disturbing performance by them the other night. Gonzaga, no good. Maryland can't win off their home floor. Clemson, guard play sucks. Illinois, way too young. Give Illinois a year or two, though, and they could be real good. They got some good young players. Missouri, I just don't see enough out of them. Baylor, no chance, not nearly as talented. And then Louisville, another throwout. I just don't see how these teams, there's not much value on those teams, in my opinion. Dark horses that could be Elite Eight or Final Four teams. Still think UCLA, Mick Cronin's a good coach, neutral floor for them. I think they could be dangerous at a big price. They're probably going to be 8 or 9 seed. BYU playing good basketball right now. Mississippi, Ole Miss, we've been on them for a while. Good coach, continuing to get better. Mississippi State as well, dangerous team, I think, on a neutral floor. So those are my thoughts on college basketball going forward. And you're going through these, the last four teams on the bubble, they had San Diego State, Maryland, Ohio State, and Pitt. Last four in were Vandy, North Carolina, UCF, and Wake Forest. First four out, Indiana, Nebraska, Texas, Drake. Next four out, Arizona State, Cincinnati, Xavier, and VCU. It's amazing Cincinnati can even have a chance of getting in here. Not very good team. So I had some questions. Where's Arkansas in the mix? They're far better than Cincinnati. There's no doubt about that. Any SEC team almost is going to be better than the Big 12. But giving you this early look here is interesting. So in the South region, they had Auburn as the number one seed. Morehead State was a 16. Baylor and St. Mary's in the 8-9 game. Wisconsin against Lipscomb in the 5-12 game. And Houston, Samford in the 4-13 game. UConn, North Carolina in the 6-11. Kentucky and Charleston in the 3-14. West Virginia and New Mexico in the 7-10. And Michigan State and Quinnipiac in the 2-15. I thought this region was really hard. Michigan State, a team I think is a contender. Auburn, I think, is the best team. Wisconsin playing very good right now. Houston, a 4 seed. I don't get that. They're a 2. They're a borderline 1 if their league was better. But they're absolutely a 2 seed. That's a bad seed right there. I think Wisconsin should be higher than 5. Kentucky, 3 is fair. Michigan State, 2 is fair. But that's a gauntlet. 2-3 could have Michigan State and Kentucky playing each other pretty early on. You're going to have Wisconsin and Houston playing each other right away. That's, to me, is just stunning. Like, why would you want that? And then Auburn's got to get by the winner of that game. So bad job in the South region, in my opinion, as far as putting teams that are too good all down in there and seeding Wisconsin and Houston poorly. East region was Duke versus Colgate in the 1-16, Texas Tech in Oklahoma, who should not even be in. They're terrible. Oklahoma is one of the worst teams you'll ever see. Texas Tech, a good 8. That's too low of a seed for them. 5-12 was Memphis and McNeese. Memphis, that's too high for them. Mississippi State, the 4 against South Alabama, the 13. St. John's, the 6 against Vanderbilt, the 11. Purdue, the 3 against Miami, Ohio. Purdue seeded too high. Arizona, 7 versus Maryland, 10. That's a game of two inconsistent teams right there. a good first game, though. Florida and Northern Colorado, the 215. I think Florida would definitely get by Arizona or Maryland. They're going to get by Purdue if Purdue even wins. But St. John's coming out of there. Florida, St. John's maybe in an Elite Eight game. That would be – or a Sweet 16 game. Be a pretty interesting matchup. And then Mississippi State against Texas Tech, Duke winner. Boy, Texas Tech would not be an easy game for Duke. That would not be an easy game. So that region, to me, Florida was the standout there. If not, St. John's would be my number two. Who knows how much these are going to stay similar. I don't have a whole lot of faith that they will. West region was Alabama, the one seed against Omaha. The 8-9 was Utah State and UCLA, which is a little bit low for them. Ole Miss, the 5 against George Mason. The 4-13 was Illinois and Princeton. 6-11, Louisville and UC Irvine. Kansas, a 3 seed. After last night's game and their loss on Saturday, they got to be at least a 7 or 8. Kansas 3 versus Asheville, the 14. Gonzaga and Ohio State in the 7-10. Marquette against Cleveland State in the 2-15. I don't like Marquette at all. There's 10 teams in here seated lower than Marquette that would beat them easily, maybe more, probably more. But Marquette and Kansas in a 2-3, if they come out, that's a weakling matchup right there. Two teams going nowhere fast. Louisville's no threat. Illinois is not ready yet. Ole Miss and UCLA are the only teams in this that could beat Alabama, in my opinion. Not even close. Like the rest of that portion of the bracket, it has no chance. So Alabama, if that was to be the case, if they're able to get by UCLA and then maybe Ole Miss, I mean, they're waltzing their way to the Final Four because nobody else has the athletes that can contend with them. Midwest region, Iowa State was the one seed against Southern. Missouri in Creighton in the 8-9, Michigan in Bradley in the 5-12, A&M the 4 against 13, UTEP 6, Georgia against 11, Pitt, oh my. Oregon the 3 against Utah Valley, the 14, 7-10 was Clemson and San Diego State in the 2-15, Bryant Bulldogs in the number 2 seeds, Tennessee Volunteers. A&M, I don't know. Missouri, I don't know. Iowa State's the number 1 seed. I think this is a weak region too. I thought Tennessee and Iowa State both could go out there pretty good, and I don't even love Tennessee at all. That one would be the easiest region. So the Midwest, to me, would be the easiest of these, the first looks. The East would be the second easiest, and then the West, and then the South is the hardest by far with Auburn, Wisconsin, Houston, Kentucky, and Michigan State. That's a brutal, brutal region. So that's a first look here at how the NCAA committee has put it together. I don't know how it'll pan out and what will happen, but we've got lots of basketball left here over the next 4 weeks to get you ready for March Madness, and we'll talk plenty more about it. Let's switch over to golf, Mexico Championship, but let's recap. Ludwig Auber gets the job done at the Genesis Invitational at Torrey Pines. Maverick McNealy made a hard charge, but Ludwig got the job done for us at 22-1, which started us off on a good weekend of golf and NASCAR and soccer this week. It's not a very good field. It's the Mexico Championships. It's at Vidanta Vallarta in Mexico. Well, I went through these and found a few guys. Jake Knapp's a guy I've been high on, 35-1 on him, so we gave him a shot. He's been playing good golf. Alex Smalley's getting a lot of traction right now. He was a T6 in 2022 here, starting to get his game on par, and I think he's an up-and-comer that's going to be on the leaderboards for quite a few years here in the coming days. The Højgaard brothers getting a lot of attention at 18-45-1. Nikolai and Rasmus, it's going to stay away from them. Patrick Rogers, another guy, 22-1. He's taking a lot of action right now. And a goal by PSV Eindhoven. So we've got two goals out of PSV. If we didn't get that bad offside goal, we'd be sitting here with a nice, nice ticket to cash. My boy Perisic making stuff happen. The Croatian, he continues to do it at a ripe old age of probably in his mid-30s right now. But back to the golf, a couple other guys to keep an eye on. Matteo Manassero, he's a guy that you may be familiar with on the DP World Tour, formerly European Tour. Always been a guy I kind of liked. He's cashed me some tickets in the past at some majors over in Europe. And his game's starting to get back into form. He's at 99-1. We'll take a shot with him. We'll take a shot with Kurt Kitayama. He's a little shorter price. He's a guy we were on 6 weeks ago or something. 22-1 for him. Think he'll be in contention. Max McGreevy, another young guy starting to put his game together. He's at 90-1, so a nice price on him. And then this guy is a new guy. He's a South African. He's pretty talented. I don't know if he's going to, make the leap to being a star, But he is a really good player, and I'm curious to see how his game continues to evolve here if he continues to play in North America. And that is Aldrich Puitgitar. It almost sounds like guitar. Puitgitar. Aldrich Puitgitar, the South African, 75-1. Check him out. His game's starting to really evolve a little bit, and I think he could be an exciting guy for the future, in the near future here in the golf world. So that's our golf picks. You can find these, as always, BLS_PRP. That's where you can find, oh no, and we got a goal check here on PSV. Boy, this is really agonizing. You can't even celebrate. You can't even celebrate. You can't get excited. Here's a goal went against us. Now this goal went for us, and they'll probably take it away. So frustrating times here in the Champions League with these goal reviews. But anyway, BLS_PRP, you can find all the picks as always. Follow us on there. Check it out and see what you like and what you don't like. I'll post those each and every day we have plays, and that's where you can find the games and the tournaments and the futures and all the things that we have that maybe didn't make it into the show, or they were time sensitive, or we had to explore more in the goal. Stands for PSV Eindhoven, so we have a 2-1 lead there. Again, rolling along, it's Better's Last Stand, show number 120 here in the Watchdog Studios, downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for an exciting weekend of action. We got Wheeling Park basketball this evening. We have the, I believe they play, is it Morgantown? Morgantown Wheeling Park, I believe, is the 7 o'clock. It'll be a stream, watchdognetwork.com. You're going to check that one out. And then tomorrow, it's Wheeling Central and Logan, a 6:30 start there. You want to check that one out on watchdognetwork.com. Mountaineers in action tomorrow as well. And then on Sunday, it's the Battle of Champions. It will be the Ohio County Eagles and the Pickerington Jaguars in Special Olympics basketball over at Wheeling University. That one can be heard right here on Watchdog Network, as well as PSG. That is not to be confused with PSV. PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, now up 6-0 on Brest. Boy, I thought they might go easy today, but not the case. So a blasting there from PSG over Brest. Okay, so let's recap a few things, some bad beats, some things that were going on in the sports world. I guess there really wasn't anything massive last week that I saw. Nothing, no 65-foot basketball shots to cover or anything. I'm sure there was, but I didn't see anything that caught my eye. Canada, Finland under 5.5 or 6 the other day on Monday. Canada leads 4-0, 5 minutes remaining in the game. Finland scores 3 times in the span of 4 minutes, including twice with a goalie pulled to make it 4-3. Canadian people were sweating. People with the puck line were sweating. But empty net goal by Canada, and Sidney Crosby makes it 5-3, puts it over. Well, it was over anyway for the 4-3. But, yeah, frustrating way to end it there when you have the goalie pulled and people are desperate. It's, you know, it's one of those things. You just kind of – it's hard to forecast. I thought Canada would put the clamps on them pretty good. I thought it was going to be a closer, lower-scoring game. All right, industry news and notes. PA Sportsbooks report a loss of $6.5 million on Super Bowl LIX 59 due to the massive amount of Eagles bets. So that's the PA. They got buried, $6.5 million to the loss there. That's pretty bad on one game. So, yeah, that beat them up pretty good. I feel their pain a little bit. Not to that extent, though, fortunately. Fortunately, we're not in a heavy Eagles market, or it would have been way worse. Since PASPA passed, that's an interesting use of the words. PASPA was passed, legal sportsbooks have made, these numbers are astounding. New York has made $61 billion in legal sports revenue. New Jersey, $58.47. Illinois, $44.29 billion. Pennsylvania, $35 billion. And Colorado, $29.6 billion. Vegas was in there, or Nevada, around 40-some million, or 40-some billion. But think about that, $60 billion. And New York's only had this for a couple of years, so massive amounts of revenue. Nevada sportsbooks down 20.5% from last year to $151.6 million wagering on Super Bowl LIX 59 a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, it sounded like the people in person were not coming out in Vegas because of the expensive prices, and people were staying at home, betting on their apps and going to their local books. Best NBA cover teams, we don't touch on these very often, coming out of the All-Star break, Cleveland 35-19, Memphis 35-19. The Thunder 32-19-4, and the Clippers 32-22. Large bet on DK already for next year's Super Bowl on the Raiders. $10,000 to win $1 million on the Raiders. How about that stuff? Crazy things, but it's a sign of the times here in our world. And, you know, it's not often that we deviate from sports, you know, because even like horse racing and things like that, we talk about on here, that's still a sport. And occasionally, I'm not sure if we've ever really delved into awards or anything like that that weren't of the sports realm. But I like to do this every once in a while. I think it's really important to let people know that sports aren't the only thing out there that you can wager on. Politics, oh no, I'm wrong, because we did do a pretty extensive rundown of the presidential election back in November, and told you about a lot of the scenarios for Kamala Harris and President Trump about who could get the what with which states. And it turned out, you know, Trump beat her down pretty good. And yeah, we forecasted some of that on here with some of the states that we thought that he could win and his path to victory. And that was really fun. I enjoy those exercises quite a bit. And I'm going to give you another one here. So this is an interesting thing right now. Obviously, Pope Francis has been struggling with health right now. He's in an advanced age. He's in the hospital. He's got pneumonia. He's on a ventilator. Not saying he's going to die, and, you know, in the next day or month or even year, but he's winding down. There's no doubt about it. He may have to step away. I don't know if he seems like he's a prideful guy, like to the negative, that he won't step aside if he's unhealthy and try to, you know, get himself together and let somebody else take over like Pope Benedict did. But I thought it was interesting to explore some of these papal markets here, and that's what we're going to do here real quickly before we head back over and talk about NASCAR and soccer to conclude the show here on Better's Last Stand, show number 120 here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for high school hoops tonight. Wheeling Park, Morgantown in action live stream, watchdognetwork.com. We will have it right here, 7 o'clock. Don't miss that one, but let's talk about these Pope scenarios. So some interesting things about the popes and where they've come from over the years. You've had three popes from Africa. You've had a pope from Argentina, which is our current pope. You've had a pope from Asia Minor, which is Turkey. You've had a pope from the Croatian kingdoms of the Lombards, which, you know, would have been former Yugoslavian republics and those types of things. You've had popes from England. We've had one pope from England. You've had one from France. In the French Empire, was about 16 total popes. Modern day Germany, you've had 6. You've had the Roman Greece and Byzantine Greece. You've had 4 Italian, 217 on the Italian peninsula. How about that one? You've had some from the Galilee region of Rome, Byzantine Palestine. You've had 3. You've had one from Deutschland. You've had one from Holland. You've had one from the People's Republic of Poland, which was Pope John Paul II. Was one of the popes that was been since I've been alive. You've had Portugal, a couple, Rome and Syria and Byzantine Syria. You've had 5. You've had 2 from Spain. So in the 266 popes, they've been spread out quite a bit. We've had none from North America. How about that? And I think that was only the one from South America, Argentina. So obviously the fix seems to be in here, I would say. But exploring some of the potential popes who could succeed Pope Francis, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, he's the Vatican Secretary of State. He's the second highest ranking guy, I believe. He's a high ranking diplomat. He's become the favorite. He's at 4-1. He's Italian, and he is the second in command. So to me, I want to handicap, and you can find these offshore accounts. You can find these in other countries. If you go up to Canada, if you go out of the country, a lot of places do have these markets up. We don't have them anywhere in the United States, I don't think. There, maybe Colorado, maybe is now doing them, but a lot of our jurisdictions won't allow it, which is ridiculous. We should be doing it here in West Virginia for sure, which is discussion for another time. But you can find these. So if you're traveling outside the country or whatever, I'm not going to try to recommend you do anything illegal. So please note that. But for the sake of things, if you're traveling over to Bermuda and you want to put a bet in on one of these, here's what you're going to do. So in my opinion, Pietro Parolin, I think there's going to be a major push to separate people from what Pope Francis has done. He's been very liberal. He's really kind of changed a lot of the doctrine, not necessarily in the writings, but in the teachings, the way it's interpreted, he's come far more towards the middle and to the left in inclusion and things like that. So he's made a lot of people mad. I personally not a fan, but that's, again, that's not what we're here to talk about, as the political side of this. We're talking about the markets in the wagering side of it, which does have to play a little bit. The politics have to play a little bit of a role here, because you got to find your angle to try to make your wager. So what I think will happen is you're going to see a big movement from the Cardinals to get a more conservative Pope to bring them back to a reputable type Catholic church again, which is tough to find these days anyway. But Pietro Parolin at 4-1, I would not wager on him. He is the second in command. I do not think they're going to want to give this to a disciple of Pope Francis by any means. The second choice, Luis Antonio Tagle out of the Philippines. He's a very liberal guy. He's welcomed some transgender things and stuff into the church, which a lot of people are frowning upon. So I do not believe he will have the traction to get himself at 5-1. You have Marc Ouellette. He's a little bit interesting. He was the former Archbishop of Quebec at 5-1. He's a little bit more conservative. And, that would be an interesting choice. He's got the French heritage, but he is in North America from Canada. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Angelo Di Donatis from Italy, he also a conservative. He's at 5-1 along with Marc Ouellette. So I thought he maybe was a guy that was worth a little bit of a peek. He actually got reassigned by Pope Francis recently for kind of clashing with him. So he would be another guy that would stand out to kind of oppose Pope Francis currently. So I thought he was intriguing at 5-1. Arthur Roach, he is at 6-1. He's a more liberal cardinal from Britain, so I don't know about him. I wouldn't think he would have much of a chance. Peter Turkson, 6-1. He was the previous favorite, but he's from Ghana, and he also coming out in support of some of the areas of the church that Pope Francis has kind of included, where they're a little bit more willing to kind of compromise on some things over the years that they never would have, the abortions and the trans and, rights of the LGBTQ community. So I think they're going to push back against guys like that. So I would say Peter Turkson at 6-1 from Ghana is out of the running. Peter Erdo, 7-1 from Hungary. He's a conservative. I think he has a small shot, but I don't know if Hungarian cardinal is going to move the needle a whole lot. Angelo Scola at 8-1. From Italy, he also a conservative. I think he could definitely have a shot if you're going back to the Italian heritage. Seems like every other pope is going to be from Italy or some way. But we are on a run right now. We've went Poland. We've went Pope Benedict. I think he was from Germany. So it's been a run. You've had Poland, Germany, and Argentina over the last three. So maybe it's due to go back to Italy. So I thought Angelo Scola at 8-1 had a good shot. Robert Sara of Guinea, he's also a conservative at 8-1. Raymond Leo Burke from St. Louis here in the United States at 10-1. Now, he was an interesting one, too, when I get to papal names that I want to talk about. But Raymond Leo Burke seems to be the front runner of anybody in North America outside of Marc Ouellette from French Canada. Raymond Leo Burke at 10-1. Konrad Kajewski from Poland. He is a more liberal candidate for Pope, and he is at 10-1. And then Gerhard Ludwig Mueller. He another one of these guys that clashed pretty good with Pope Francis, which could then lead to some traction for him. He was very, very outspoken against some of these guys like Peter Turkson and those who have softened their views on the LGBTQ type thing to try to gain some favor with the liberal community. Peter Erdo, I said Marc Ouellette, they both were appointed by John Paul and Pope Benedict XVI, who was before Pope Francis. So I thought that was pretty interesting that maybe those guys, if they were able to come through, could get some benefit of having those guys being their appointers, I think could play a role. Papal names then is another market that you could get into, and you could take a shot with, okay, is he going to be Pope Francis again? I say no chance that's happening. I thought Pope Francis was a bit of an upset anyway. I like the Francis of Assisi trying to get him into the name. So I think that was all right, but I don't think he's really lived up to St. Francis of Assisi so far, but that's just my opinion. Pope John Paul, 5-1. We already had Pope John Paul I and Pope John Paul II, who was a very good pope. Pope John Paul is 5-1. Could we return to the good times of Pope John Paul at 5-1? Perhaps. Pope Leo, 8-1 on this one. This would be Pope Leo the 14th. I think this is my best bet. This is what I would go with, because maybe Pope Raymond Leo Burke from St. Louis, Missouri at 10-1. He's probably a Cardinals fan. At 8-1 for Pope Leo, maybe we get a nice little double-sided ticket here. You get 10-1 cashes, and then he takes Pope Leo because it's already in his name. I think that's a good one. Pope Leo was revered amongst popes in the past. They've had 13 of them. So I like that one. So that was a bet that I thought was worth keeping an eye on, the papal name of Pope Leo. Pope John at 12-1. There's been 24, or this would be the 24th. I don't think that one has much of a shot. And then Pope Joseph. I thought this was an outside one right here. Joseph kind of doesn't get much love right here. And I will say that Pope Benedict, I believe his actual real name was Joseph. So maybe one of the guys that got appointed cardinal by Pope Benedict, and they get to be the Pope and they honor him by not going with Benedict, but going with Joseph, his real name, I thought was pretty neat. Benedict, here's a few things about some of these papal names. Benedict the 17th, that would be obviously a direct honoring of Pope Benedict, which would be kind of interesting. Pope John Paul, I don't think it's going to be John Paul III. I would think it won't be. I think he had a run of two John Pauls in a row, and I don't think you'll see that come back for quite a while. Pope Leo, though, was the one that I thought was really, really intriguing. Pope Innocent, very unlikely to go with him. Obviously, tough to put Catholic Church and Innocent together, sadly. Alexander was one that I thought was very low. Urban would say that was going to be very low. I think Pope Urban was the guy who persecuted Galileo for believing that the certain things in the stratosphere, like the earth was rotating and things like that, that was like sacrilege at the time. So lots of intriguing stuff here, but I thought Pope Joseph was with an outside shot at 30-1, but I do like Pope Leo at 8-1. And then as far as the two, or as who will be Pope, I thought Mark Ouellette at 5-1, the French-Canadian, former Archbishop of Quebec, was in the mix. And then I thought that Angelo Scolo of Italy was a good bet at 8-1. And then as a long shot, Raymond Leo Burke out of St. Louis at 10-1. But we'll keep an eye on these. When we get a little bit closer, maybe we'll do a little bit deeper of a dive. But I thought it was pretty interesting to see how the evolution of the 266 popes that we've had have come along, and just showing you that you can wager on this stuff, and it's very exciting. Have a little bit of action on when the smoke's going to turn black and or white, I guess, is what you're looking for, to cash your bet. So we'll talk more about it once the Pope does pass, or he steps down, and then we go into conclave. And they come out with a new Pope. So money to be made there. So it's not always just about sports here on Bettors Last Stand. You can bet into several different markets. So again, wager responsibly, wager legally, and hopefully a papal cashing of a ticket is in your future. Hopefully it's in ours as well. All right, keeping it rolling here on show number 120, Bettors Last Stand. Time to go back to NASCAR. So we go from the Pope to NASCAR. How about this? The Popemobile out at Daytona International Speedway. Last week, William Byron gets the job done. And, you know, it's tough to win this race two times in a row, and William Byron did it. He did it, and I didn't expect it. We didn't give him out last week, full transparency. Thought it was really hard. We talked about how hard it is to have good luck two times in a row, three times in a row. You know, that's a really tough thing. But William Byron gets the job done. Tyler Reddick was second for us. Briscoe fourth for us. John Hunter Nemechek fifth. So we did well. Austin Cindric was in the top 10. Chris Buescher as well. So our picks were pretty good. We were right around there. We're seeing the ball well. We're beating around the bush. We're going to Atlanta this week. Another super speedway. Not as much banking as Daytona, but they get going pretty good here, and you're going to see a lot of the same types of tactics, the drafting, the cars in the two lines going very, very fast, sometimes three lines. And you have some guys here who have been, because of their success at this track, their odds are very short. Ryan Blaney at 8.5-1, Joey Logano at 9-1. You got Austin Cindric at 12-1, which is very surprising. Daniel Suarez at 20-1. He's had a lot of success here. Kyle Busch at 12-1. So these are some of your favorites, as well as Chase Elliott at 13-1. Daniel Suarez has finished in the top two here in Atlanta for the last, three straight races. He has finished in the top two. He won this race last year. He was second in the summer race, and then he finished second in the previous summer race, I think. Yeah, nonetheless, three of his last four, he's been in the top two. Running really well. I don't like his odds, though. I can't bet him at 19. He's just not consistent enough for me to be able to do that. So I'm not going to be looking at Daniel Suarez, and I'm going to go back to what I said last week. Can you continue to have good luck over and over and over at these drafting tracks? And I say no, you can't. So the guy that I'm zooming in on right now, because I think his price is really good, because you're going to see him at this price you don't see very often, and his success is now the pendulum should start to swing to where you think he is due to have some good racing luck, and that is Denny Hamlin. He's at nearly 16-1 if you shop around. That's a great price on a guy like Denny Hamlin. He's had back-to-back tough breaks here. I think he's ready to go. His car has been good. He's led laps. He's been fast. He's just had bad luck. So Denny Hamlin, top pick this week. I don't usually get on the favorite type guys, but he's not really a favorite this week. He's like the 7th or 8th choice at it. 16-1, I'll be taking a shot with Denny as my number one pick at the Ambetter Health 400 at Atlanta. A couple other guys that intrigue me, Erik Jones, another guy. He's had really good cars here at Atlanta over the last couple of years, but he's had some bad luck. He finished 25th in this race last year, and then he was 26th in the summer race last year, and he led some laps in that race. So, again, fast car. The results weren't there to go with it. I like Erik Jones. He's had a good average finish at this track in the past. So at 43-1, I'm taking a shot with Erik Jones. And then Corey LaJoie, a guy that's very good on these speedways. He's had not a lot of racing luck at Atlanta either, and he wasn't very lucky last week. So I thought him around 60-1 was a fair price for a long shot. And then Carson Hocevar, he's 105-1, and this guy's this guy impressed me quite a bit last year. We remarked even when Sam was joining the show, we talked racing about how he had really started to just be under the radar. Like here he is, boom, Hocevar, another top 10, another top 12, another top 10. Then he sneaks in a top 8. Like he is really impressing me a lot. And I think Carson Hocevar is a guy at a triple figure price that has gotten a little bit of experience here. He was feeling his way through last year in some of these races. And I like what I'm seeing out of him. I think that he's a guy that can start to creep up into the next tier and start to compete a little bit more. And I like him this week to maybe make a splash, maybe get in that top 10 and continue to build off of strong performances, because that's what you need when you're a young guy on the circuit. Need good results to continue to keep your momentum up. Ryan Blaney, Chase Elliott, obviously two of the better guys all time at this track, both with 11.5 average finish or better. So you could really make a case for either one of those guys. Their prices are just too short. Chase, not terrible at 14-1. Blaney at 8.5, just a little bit low for a track that can cause a lot of problems. If you're using a guy for in a racing league or something like that, which I don't really hit on a lot here, but I should probably, then Blaney's probably a decent play. But I don't like to play guys off back-to-back good performances, especially when it's these super speedways. It's just really hard to get lucky 2 weeks in a row at tracks like this. So Denny Hamlin, top pick. Erik Jones, second. Corey LaJoie, Carson Hocevar, among our other guys there. I mean, Ryan Preece, I can't talk you off him. And even a guy like Todd Gilliland, who's ran really well at tracks like this. So those guys, Ryan Preece, again, bad luck last week. Another massive crash for him. That guy's, his body's just beaten to hell time and time again, and it's just nice to see him be able to walk away from things like that. It was not a pretty sight at all. Alex Bowman, maybe another guy, but I don't like playing Bowman off back-to-back good performances, and maybe he keeps it going. He was fifth here in the summer race, and I don't know exactly where he finished at in the one. He was 27th in this race last year. So those are our picks for the Ambetter Health 400. May take a peek at some practice times and add a few to those. So BLS_PRP is where you will want to be. But it's nice to have NASCAR back, Daytona in the books, and we're on to another super speedway at Atlanta this weekend. So enjoy the racing action. F1 just a few weeks away, so we'll be talking about those here soon. We got IndyCar coming around. They switched networks over to Fox, so that's interesting to an extent. We'll see what that coverage is like and if we can start to identify some potential, you know, guys who are going to be hot teams, some drivers who have changed teams and things like that, and we'll see what comes here in the IndyCar circuit here in North America. Upcoming events. So, obviously, getting down to the end of basketball season, hard to believe, at least as far as college basketball. We're 4 weeks out from March Madness, and we're starting to get ready for some of the spring sports. You got March 2nd, you got the Academy Awards. Maybe I'll have a few plays on those next week for you, as we talked about the Popes today. We'll talk about the Academy Awards, maybe a couple of plays that maybe look good there on the Academy Awards for us here on Bettors Last Stand. Indian Wells Tennis coming up March 3rd through 6th. Great tennis tournament kicking off the hard court season, getting ready for, kind of the crossover hard court, because then you go back to France for the French Open later in the spring. MEC tournament over at West Bank Arena, March 5th through the 9th. The AFL season, the Lions and the Cats, Brisbane and Geelong will do battle on March 6th. So I'm excited about AFL coming back. Miami Open tennis, March 16th through 30th. March Madness, of course, March 20th. So when that cranks up, the first Thursday of action, the Masters on April 10th. Frozen Four, April 10th through the 12th. The NFL Draft on the 24th of April. Kentucky Derby, May 3rd. The PGA Championship, May 15th through 18th. And the French Open, May 25th. Through June the 5th. So got lots of good sports on the horizon here for us on Bettors Last Stand. So hopefully you're as excited as I am. Touching back a little bit on hockey. Nailers coming in to a weekend series here. We're home for three. I think we're going to be home for four or five in a row. But they need a support. Get on out there and see the Nailers. We got a Frosty Friday over there on Friday. That's tonight. And then tomorrow night it's Pups and Pucks. So you can bring your dog out to the game. So stop on over to West Bank Arena, get your tickets, get ready to go. Support the Nailers here. We got some big games this weekend against Tulsa, and then a game on Sunday afternoon at 4:10 against Reading. They need some points. They're hitting a little bit of a lull. They've lost three in a row. All right, let's wrap the show up here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 120. It's time to talk some soccer. We got Champions League games concluding right now. I think we got one going to extra time, at least in a match that we desperately need. It will be PSV taking on Juventus. I believe that's a 3-3 aggregate right now, so we're going to be going to some extra time there to see if PSV can't advance through. We're hopeful that that can happen. We already got Real Madrid through. We got Dortmund and Paris Saint-Germain as well. And then the two big winners yesterday with Club Brugge and Feyenoord. So not too bad right now. Unit prices, we're doing pretty well. But let's go EPL, focusing on Saturday's games here. Now, EPL games on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, but there's no Champions League. You won't have Champions League coming back until the next round and the teams are drawn. That'll be in early March. So we got Premier League wrapping around to Tuesday and Wednesday as well. But we got games Saturday and Sunday that I'm going to focus on today. BLS underscore PRP early next week. If you want those matches that I play on Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll have those on there. Saturday's plays, it's Manchester United at Everton. Everton plus 145. Yes, Everton, a favorite against United. Plus 185 on United. United's won six straight in the series. But, Everton, this is a team that's really played well under David Moyes. They've won five out of six. They're playing really, really well. They got points in five out of six. I think they've won four of six. They had a draw on the other one. Four of the last six between these two have went over. I like Everton here. They're playing much better soccer. David Moyes will be ready for Manchester United at home. And I like the Toffees to win this game. Everton money line in the early game on Saturday. Tottenham at Ipswich. Ipswich plus 245 dog. Tottenham even money favorite. And Tottenham, we had an under last week because Manchester United couldn't score against them. I don't know how, but we're going to go back to the well with Tottenham over. We're going to go over the three. The last five meetings have had at least three goals between these two teams. Now, they haven't played. They've only played a couple of those recently. A lot of those go back a while. And Ipswich beat Spurs 2-1 back in November. So, interesting there. This game at Ipswich, I think Spurs will be desperate to turn the table there. Maybe a little bit of Spurs money there, but we're going to go over the three to be safe. West Ham and Arsenal. London battle here. It will be Arsenal minus 360. West Ham 9-1 as the dog here. West Ham has been dreadful. Road team has won three straight in this. So if you're on that trend, you might want to play West Ham. I don't know. Six of the last seven have gone over here. And I think West Ham's really bad. Jared Bowen's the only good player they got. I like under in this game. Arsenal lost Kai Havertz. We talked about him last week. West Ham can't score. I think Arsenal just gets a business-like win and they start focusing on Champions League in a couple weeks. They're just going to want to choke this off, win the game 2-0, and just not get anything crazy in a rivalry match. Crystal Palace and Fulham, another rivalry match in London. Three of the last four have been draws here. Four out of the last six have went to the under here. Crystal Palace have not won at Craven Cottage, is where Fulham's home is. They haven't won there since 2020. So that's a little bit of a concern. I lean Fulham here at plus 105, Crystal Palace plus 265. So I lean to Fulham, but I think both teams will score in this game. This thing has the makings of a 1-1 or a 2-1 Fulham, in my opinion. Brighton at Southampton. Southampton dead last in the table. They just can't get any traction. All we do have a ticket on them to get relegated, so let's just keep them down there. I don't think we're going to have any problems with that. They haven't won against at home versus the Seagulls since 2011, so that's a long time. I think Brighton crushes them here. Brighton only minus 165 on the money line. Not a bad price, but I like to play them either minus 0.75 or minus 1.25. So Brighton gets the win by two goals. You get a nice plus price there. So we're going with the Seagulls on the road at Southampton to take care of business. Wolves at Bournemouth. Bournemouth minus 165 on the money line. Wolves plus 400. I think that Wolves has been one of the most crazy teams to watch. You just don't ever know what you're going to get out of them. Some games they defend and they can't score and the game's low scoring. In other games, they play haphazard. They may score a goal and they may give up five. Like, they're bizarre. Bournemouth has impressed me so much. They're pushing for a European spot here, if not Europa, maybe even the Champions League. So Bournemouth with a ton to play for here in these games that they should win. I like them minus the 1.25. You can get a nice plus price on that. They'll win this game, I think, by a couple of goals. The away team has won four straight in this. I think that stops here. I don't have any faith that Wolves will be able to get this done. Bournemouth beat Wolves 4-2 earlier this year. I think it's more of the same. I like Bournemouth minus the 1.25 goals, and I like the game over three as Bournemouth will beat Wolverhampton Wanderers on Saturday morning. Also, Saturday afternoon game, Chelsea and Aston Villa. Villa makes a short trip down to Stamford Bridge. Or, I'm sorry, Chelsea makes the short trip up to Villa Park. And Aston Villa plus 165, a small dog. Chelsea plus 145, a small favorite there. I think both teams score in this game. Don't really have a great feeling on this. Aston Villa has, they're kind of focusing on their match today, probably before this one. So they do play a game today against Liverpool, which is going on right now. So I don't know how they're going to come out of that. I do think there'll be a couple goals in this game, at least one for each team. So we've got both teams to score, Chelsea and Aston Villa. Sunday's matches, Nottingham at Newcastle. Newcastle minus 125, 3-1 on Forest. Newcastle have worried me a little bit. They have not been as clean the last few weeks. That would be a little bit of a concern. I'm not saying Nottingham win this game, but they could steal a point from them, no problem. Away team has won five straight in this, so that supports that Nottingham Forest may come to play here. Both teams have scored in the last five meetings as well, so we're going to go with both teams to score, and we're also going to go over 2.5 in this fixture. I think Nottingham Forest and Newcastle has a few goals in it. Liverpool at Manchester City. Used to be a showdown, not so much anymore. Manchester City just got smashed by Real Madrid. They're plus 170 dog here. They're taking on a Liverpool team, which is not played as well, but they're clearly the best team in the Premier League. Plus 135 on them. Lean towards Liverpool. Like the under 3.5 in this game. I think it'll be a little bit lower scoring. Manchester City is just zapped right now. Erling Haaland didn't even play today. I think they're waiting for their penalty, their points penalty, which could even see them relegated. So it looked like Pep just kind of saved all his troops for this match to see if they can maybe steal as many points as they can in a big match against Liverpool. But I don't think they have much of a shot here. So we'll go with the under 3.5 in that one. A slight lean to Liverpool. Again, you can find all these EPL plays. BLS_PRP. Check those out. We'll have them all up there for the weekend, and we'll have next week's Tuesday and Wednesday EPL plays as well. Winding it down here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 120 from the Watchdog Studios downtown Wheeling here on a chilly Friday night. Stay warm with the Pine Room guys. They're coming up here in just a little bit as they'll be bringing you Wheeling Park and Morgantown action from the Palace on the Hill, a stream as well, video stream and audio here on the Watchdog Network. You can check those out all evening long. Watch the Patriots and the Mohegans do battle. Then tomorrow you got Wheeling Central and, I said it earlier in the show. Logan, sorry, I couldn't think of who they were playing. So a top-end clash in West Virginia boys basketball tomorrow night as well, 6:30 p.m. right here on the Watchdog Network. And then concluding the weekend, it'll be the Battle of Champions out at Wheeling University. the Pickerington Jaguars taking on the Ohio County Eagles in Special Olympics basketball. You also have the Watchdog All-Stars taking on the Pickerington Jaguars after the game against the Eagles for some fun. And then Jubb and Donnie Gilbert in a free throw shooting competition. You're not going to want to miss that one. We got DeFelice sponsoring some pizza giveaway. So stop on out to the McDonough Center at Wheeling University on Sunday and watch some really cool stuff. It starts, the doors open at 3. First game is at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. So come on out, check things out. Again, thanks to everybody that supports the Watchdog Network here, and thanks to you for listening to the Watchdog Network. That's going to do it for us on Better's Last Stand. Don't forget, high school hoops tonight, Wheeling Park and Morgantown. I almost said John Marshall. Live stream, video stream, and audio. So you got it all tonight right here on the Watchdog Network. That's coming up here at 7 o'clock, and that's going to do it for us. Show number 120 in the books. We were up 50-plus units last week. I don't know if we can keep it going, but we're sure as hell going to try. BLS underscore PRP. Check out all the picks there. You can play the show back as well at the Pine Room Studios YouTube page and at pineroomstudios.com. Drop us a line at BLS underscore PRP or at the Pine Room Studios on social media. Tell us what you want to hear about. If you want more Pope bet talk, if you want Academy Awards bet talk, if you want Westminster Dog Show bet talk, we can do it all. Just tell us what you want to hear, and we will be glad to provide. Again, thanks for listening on the Watchdog Network. Have a safe and wonderful weekend, and we'll see you back here on Better's Last Stand next week. Good luck with your wagers.